This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're back with more of the Bet Rivers Sportsbook pregame show on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Brought to you by Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Go to BetRivers.com or download the Bet Rivers app from the App Store now.
Welcome to hour two of our Bet Rivers Sportsbook pregame show. I am Hub Arkish, along with Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley. It's great to have you all alongside. Hour in the books. We've broken down the New York Giants for you pretty well. We think we did a nice job of going back and looking at the Bears last Sunday. Don't want to relive too much of that because it wasn't exactly a work of art. Interesting to see how they respond. Talked about all the drama during the week with Allen Robinson. And guys, we mentioned Tariq Cohen just last night apparently got some new paper worth about $18.25 million. About $9 million of it is going to be guaranteed. It's actually $9.5 million guaranteed, according to one report. With incentives, he can get over $18 million. And really, for a, I don't want to say a backup running back. I mean, Tariq Cohen is a two-time Pro Bowl, kick returner and specialist. He is a special weapon out of the backfield. He can play wide receiver. He can do a lot of great things for you. But he's not a number one running back. He's not a franchise running back. And even those guys aren't getting paid in the NFL these days. So this deal feels just about right. Cohen's a, he's a great young man. Couldn't be happier for him. And it's safe to say that hopefully his family is now set. Really, you should be set for life. And we tend to forget that, you know, of that $18.25 million, they're going to pay a lot of taxes. It's not like all that money goes in the bank, but it is the second contract. It's still millions, and couldn't be happier for the young man. 312-644-6767 is our phone number. And, you know, guys, you look at all the conversation off of last week, all of the drama of this past week, and now you come home. And a home opener, you know, usually you would expect to be a big deal for an NFL team, but one thing we have not discussed is the impact that the current environment we live in has had on the NFL. It certainly was a little bit strange watching the Bears game in Detroit last week in an empty stadium. A number of players and coaches called it one of the strangest experiences of their life. Mark DeLeon, the inside linebackers coach, we were talking with him, I think it was Monday, right after the game, and he said he's never had a football experience like that. And the problem is that you need to try and create your own energy. You know, you've got this piped in sound, and maybe that helps a little bit, but it's just not the same thing. And Pat, I know you never experienced it, so it's kind of hard to ask you what you think.
No, but I can answer this one perfectly, Hub. I played at Duke I played at Duke in the mid-90s.
That was intramurals, right?
Yeah, it was. It was just mom and dad up there. Maybe my brother would come visit, so you played hard for them, and that's maybe what it feels like for these guys. It has to be different, but I think it was Bill Belichick they asked that question to, and they said, what do you equate it to? And he just gives that one-word answer, practice. You know, so it's you got to figure it out. I think it's going to take a couple weeks, and it's got to be hard. But I think you got to have a good sideline. You kind of, you know what, we can kind of equate it to the Cubs Hub. You know, everybody talks about how their dugout is so loud and having a good time. I think that helps a lot to keep that energy there. And, I think that's something you've got to do. But honestly, to go back to Duke, it was like that quite a bit. You know, when maybe East Carolina or whoever came in and we played, there just weren't many people there. And you have to find that energy. You have to play for yourself. And then I think being an O-lineman, it's that one-on-one battle, which, you know, you've got to play hard anyway because, you know, you're lining up right across from somebody and hitting heads every play. So that's a little bit easier to bring the energy there.
Yeah, and parts of me wondered if that was what was wrong with the Bears' defensive line, right? Because defensive lines, more than anybody, feed off the crowd, feed off the energy in the stadium, and they really like to get excited off of, you know, off of big plays and the crowd yelling or just a reaction from the crowd or totally silencing, say, an away stadium. And I, when I watched the Bears' defensive line, I wondered if that affected them last week. But like you said, Pat, hopefully they get better at dealing with it. It's hard to talk about it when you don't go through it. You can't even imagine walking into a stadium on game day and the whole place being empty. That must be a really strange feeling for these guys. But they're the first ones ever to go through it, and they're the ones that are going to have to figure it out. And whoever handles it better is going to have a better year. Because, you know, you would say this week, if the New York Giants and Daniel Jones came in a Soldier Field in any other regular year, they don't even have a chance to block the Bears' defensive line. Because if they got to go silent count, these guys are in trouble. They should be in trouble anyway today. But it's a very interesting year to watch. And these guys do have to find their own energy. And for some guys, to be honest, they won't be the same players with the stadium empty like it is.
You know, and that is such a great point. I'm trying to remember which game I was listening to last night. Not last night, but last weekend. And whoever the color commentator was making the point, the visiting team, the quarterback, was actually drawing the defense offsides with hard counts and whatever. And for a visiting team to be able to do that is unheard of, and that it really was a tremendous advantage for the visitors not to have that crowd noise, at least for the offense, because you could do whatever you want to do. You know, in a lot of stadiums, it's all hand motions and silent counts, and you see the false starts, and we should see a lot less of that. And so you got to believe that home field advantage is going to be minimized. I'm curious, guys, I know obviously you react to crowd noise and excitement. When there was a big play, the crowd revving up could get you that more jacked up. But beyond that, beyond just the crowd noise, were you ever even really aware of the fans or what was going on in the stands? Did you ever stop and look for the family or anything like that? Or once you're on the field, do you try and kind of, you know, shut it all off anyway?
Well, I think of course you do. Of course you enjoy, if you play a sport, one of the best things you do is you come out there on a Sunday afternoon and all the fans are in the stands. And for me, the first people you look for is your family. You look for your family in the stands, and that gets you a little emotional, and you're representing them, and you understand that, and it just gives you a boost or a lift. I remember my mom, them from Hawaii, flying in from Hawaii, and if they were there, you'd almost get emotional looking up and seeing them in the stands, and they're there to support you, and they're all wearing your jersey, and then the Chicago fans, who, you know, I would argue are the best in the NFL, are screaming when you come out, you know, to kick someone's, I won't say the word, on the radio, but that's it, Pat. It's a big part of it, man. I mean, the airplanes overhead, everybody's screaming. Today probably would have been, I forget his name, but the Blackhawks guy would have probably been singing the national anthem, and everybody would have been screaming through it. And it's a big part of the game. It's a big part of the emotion. So something that these players, at the end of the year, it'd be interesting to talk to them about how they dealt with it and how they adjusted to it.
Yeah, man, to bring that just kind of got me chill bumps thinking about the flyovers for games. I think you always got a chill bump when that happened. And then the family, Olin, you're right. My family always kind of sat in the same end zone. I just remember after the coin flip, I would always sprint to that corner, and I knew where they were and just kind of acknowledged them and came back. And that's it just you felt proud, like you said, Olin, representing your family and being able to, you know, live out a childhood dream to play in the NFL. And then the other part, Olin, I remember is just the creative fans behind our bench. What they would say to certain players that maybe weren't producing like they wanted, maybe had a couple bad games or just, you know, maybe on their way out. Some of these fans were ruthless, but there were some that were pretty darn funny that you would get a good chuckle out of.
My favorite one that I still laugh about, Pat and Hub, was I tore my MCL. I think it was versus the Giants in 2000, I think it was, and I was walking off. This is before they redid Soldier Field, so the fans are kind of close to you. And this guy yells, and I could see his face. He said, "Hey, walk it off, Alice." And my first thought, after I almost went after him and the guys grabbed me, my first thought was, damn, I'm trying. It just, I can't walk off this tendon.
Well, the question is, though, do you still remember his face? Because he probably doesn't want to be walking around Chicago.
I think I'd buy him a beer and tell him he's one of my favorite stories now.
Well, guys, they're going to play the games this way, and it's going to be, I think at this point we all know it's going to be for the rest of the season. There may be a point where there may be some fans in the stands. I know Mayor Lightfoot was on the Score Friday morning and stirred a little bit of controversy, suggesting that maybe the Bears in the city aren't in enough communication to work something out. George McCaskey certainly has made clear that the Bears want to do what the city believes is safe. But even at that point, there are some stadiums where they have been able to get about 25% capacity. So maybe you can get 15,000, 16,000 fans in the stadium. There are reports now that there are at least 11 Chiefs fans in quarantine because they were exposed to somebody with the virus at the game. Different story for a different time. We want to focus on the games today. So it's going to be this way all season long. And Olin, as you said, the teams that are creative and adapt to it the best are going to try and find some advantage in it. And you certainly can't allow it to become a disadvantage. But I can't imagine, you know, during the actual game while you're on the field, live action, do you think that they're even noticing they're not hearing the noise? Or are you so focused on what you're doing that it's really more in the stoppage time where you might be more aware of it?
Yeah, I would imagine a TV timeout has got to be really strange. When everything just goes silent, I don't know. You'd have to ask somebody who was there. I don't know if they're playing music in there or
they
just
are piping sounded. Yeah,
they're, I mean,
crowd noise and music. Yeah,
that I imagine would help, but it's just got to be kind of weird. Almost like Coach Belichick said, you know, it's like 9-on-7 in practice. But as an offensive lineman, you line up, and you know, there's a big nose guard in front of you, and that'll get your blood going a little bit. You don't want to get your butt kicked. You know you're still on TV, but I don't know. It's just a really it's hard to talk about if you've never been through it. I just got to imagine, Pat, that it's got to be really strange.
And I think it's got to be strange for the kicking game. Think about like game-winning kicks, whether you're at a visiting stadium or a home stadium, where that truly must feel like practice, and then just not feeling the fans. You know, that energy in there and bringing that extra nerve. I mean, you're going to be nervous anyway as the kicker, but that's got to be another strange thing for that situation. And if you hit the game-winning kick and you're at home, you only have 53 other guys you're celebrating with and the coaching staff. So it's just, it doesn't bring that same energy after you win like that.
Yeah, it was almost like the second week of camp practices, right, Pat? You're just faking enthusiasm. We throw Jam Rock out there, wreck the – You wreck the locker room because nobody really wants to practice. So you're just trying to find – I mean, I'm sure they're going to have to find things like that, that almost like you're in training camp. You know you don't want to do this 9-on-7. You know you don't want to do this live goal line. But you got to find that energy. And we used to say a lot, you fake it till it becomes real. So sometimes you got to fake that energy until it catches on and it becomes contagious for everybody. But I'm sure a lot of it has to be, Pat. It was interesting when you brought up the Cubs. And when you watch like college coaches and things like that, it made me think about that, where guys are constantly yelling on the sideline. Teams are dancing. The Bears already have Club Love. I changed it to Club Love because they talk about love so much. I figured we'll take out Dub. We'll call it Club Love. So now they got Club Love here in 2020. So maybe at some point you got to bring that to the sideline. You got to bring some of that energy to the sideline.
We're going to have to get Patrick a new T-shirt now. I like the Club Dub T-shirt last week. We got to get Club Love T-shirt. Olin, you got to try and trademark that or license it. We can make a little money on this. Make it part of the pregame show.
Nagy's got love curing everything, man. Hopefully love can cure their first half scoring.
The Chicago Bears flower children. We'll see where we can take it. Guys, we've got to take a very quick break here on our BetRivers.com pregame show. Make sure you go to BetRivers.com or download the BetRivers app from the App Store right now. And This week, Patrick and I get to debut our PNC Bank MailMed Chicago Prop Swap post-game show. We had a Cubs conflict last week, but we will be on immediately following the game, taking your calls. So be sure and stay with us after the game. And next up, my favorite segment of each week, we go Where Are They Now? And it is our buddy Charles Tillman. Peanut's going to be here in just a moment, so stay right where you are. We're back with more Bears pregame right here on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station. Where are they now? Catching up with former Bears players and staff each week to see where are they now.
Charles Tillman's one heck of a player. I think he's the best cornerback in Bears history.
Let's get it. Let's go be in a hip pocket.
14-yard line, eye left there, 0 for 6 on third down. Orlovsky, the takeaway, throws the slant off the hands of Williams. Intercepted Tillman, left sideline, 10, 5, end zone, touchdown! Touchdown, Bears!
Shocked the world today.
Where are they now?
All y'all listening, this is The Score, right?
On Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Into the line, did the ball come out? It did! It is scooped up by the Bears! Charles Tillman takes it the distance, and Chicago is very much alive!
Brought to you by Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Go to BetRivers.com or download the Bet Rivers app from the App Store now.
Welcome back, everybody, and I can tell you where Charles Tillman is at right now. He's on the Alpamonte Ford hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Our Where Are They Now guest this week is Peanut himself. And, Charles, it is great to have you with us. I hope that you and the family and everybody are staying healthy and doing well in these strange times that we're living in. Everybody doing good?
Everybody is healthy. Yeah, man, no complaints. I have zero to complain about. We are healthy. I'm good. My family's good. My daughter, heart transplant, she's good. Everyone's good. We're healthy. We're blessed.
Well, Charles, you are blessed, but come on, you can't be the only guy in the world with nothing to complain about. There's got to be something.
I play in the league. I'm financially stable. I feel bad for a lot of people out there who aren't in the same situation that I am. So trust me, I ain't got nothing to complain about. Team Tillman, we are good. Two thumbs up.
hey, go ahead, Ole.
Go ahead. You got him.
Charles, with all the kids in the house, how is the e-learning going, man? You got
it's
some energy.
Absolutely
those
terrible.
Kids.
Okay, so I lied. I'm complaining about e-learning.
He set you up, Peanut. He set you up, Peanut. You should have told him it was great. It's great. Things are going great.
Yeah. So I got a kid in high school. She's great. She's easy. She's kind of, you know, my younger three. It's not the best. I got 12, 11, and 7, and my 7-year-old is all over the place. e-learning is terrible for a 7-year-old because you expect them to sit on an iPad all damn day and listen to what the teacher has to say. My daughter is rolling around on the ground. She's playing with the dog. She's drawing. She turns off her camera. Like, it's a nightmare. Truly a nightmare. I can't be the only one. Olin, how about you? I don't know. You're the same way, dude.
Hey, Charles, the peanut, my high school boys are like, they got their ear pods in and they're making food at the microwave. I go to talk to them and they pointed their ear pods like they're in class. So they're in heaven, okay? But the four young ones, they're like, hey, Dad, you can't talk to me right now. Even though I'm making, you know, food in the microwave, I'm in class. I'm making pizza. But, hey, Peanut, let's get to you, man. I mean, obviously, congratulations on the Hall of Fame nomination. You're more than deserving. I'm sure Pat would agree. One of our favorite teammates of all time. A lot of the guys remember a lot of things about Peanut Pat. What I remember is just watching him on punt return, and he gave effort. It looked like he was giving everything he had in his body on every play. And honestly, I don't know if I ever told Peanut this, but that would get me motivated on the sideline that I better go out there and play as hard as this guy is playing. And Peanut, my first question for you is just who influenced you to play like that, and who was your influences early in your career in the NFL?
I think just the coach that I would have, the coach would always say, you got to give your best effort, and only you can control effort. You might win, you might lose, but effort is the one thing that you can control. And I really tried to don't know, just give it everything I had on punt return. And I think it was pretty successful looking at how Devin and what Devin was able to do. Someone who I really enjoyed watching as a kid was Barry Sanders. And I've never played tailback, but hence the nickname Peanut. I was a small kid growing up, and he was a smaller running back. I really enjoyed his skill set and how he ran the ball. Now, I was never blessed to play offense or play running back, but I just really enjoyed how he ran the ball and how he was just so skillful, and he was just explosive. And then when he used to shake people and break ankles, like, that's what I aspired to do, but I never really did that.
Oh, and I'm glad you asked him about the special teams, because I never asked you, Charles, that Dave Tobe, did he have to beg you to be on punt return? Because, I mean, that's, you know, we were lucky to have you in that meeting room with us, you know, being a starter and who you are and how great of a player you were. That was an influence to all of us looking over and like, oh, man, we get Charles Tillman to help us out. But did Tobe have to beg you, or is that something you wanted
to
do?
No, I think when I was on it as a rookie, they just left me on it the whole time. So I don't know. I don't know if Dave Tobe just saw something in me, but I don't know. To me, Dave Tobe will go down as the greatest special team coach of all time. He inspired me. He was like, look, we're going to have you go try to block this. Peanut, we're going to single you up. You can block. You're our best blocker. You can. So that was, to me, that's inspiring. And when a coach trusts you to do a job, when your boss, your supervisor tells you, hey, I'm trusting you to do this for the team, like, it's pressure, and you don't want to let that person down. So for me, for him to tell me that and give me that responsibility, I was excited. So I was like, what? You want me to? Okay. Well, then I can't fail. I have to do this. I have to get Devin in end zone. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was kind of the mindset that I would have. Then I would try to do my best Olin Kreutz block on my guy, you know.
Well, there was two things. I mean, how many punt blocks did you have? And then what's cool is when you watch Devin, all of his punt returns, you're right there with him. Like you said, like you were jumping down on his back before everybody else.
I think his success was my success. So that's what made us good, in my opinion. Like, I wanted it. I didn't want it for me. I wanted it for him. Like, that was my mindset. If I do good, he's going to do good. So that was just how I thought, you know. If it's not just, well, I'm going to do this for me and I'm trying to get my contract. And it wasn't just I. It was more of, well, I want this more for Devin. So you know what? I'm going to sell out and I'm going to give you everything I got so I can get you in the end zone. It was just unselfish play. And I think that's what made us very successful.
Yeah. And let's talk about, you know, playing corner in the NFL. I mean, you came in as a second round rookie and then just made an immediate impact, and everybody knows the peanut punch, right? Everybody knows that. How did that come about?
It happened in college. We played Wolford College one year, and I think one of my coach from high school mentioned something about, he came to a game and he said, hey, you know, you probably could have had X amount of forced fumbles if you would have just punched it out. So his name was Rodney Southern. So I think from that point, like the next season, my sophomore year, I literally just started to, I just started punching out footballs. And then obviously once I got to the league, it carried over. I think my first game we played San Francisco in 03, I was able to force one out, and it just, I don't know, it kind of just took off from there.
Well, Peanut, since Pat turned into Jimmy Fallon there and decided he was going to ask 500 questions in a row.
I thought you were next, you know, man.
Me and Hub will try to get in here somewhere. I don't know what happened there. But anyway, hey, Peanut, what did you see? I don't know if you watched the game, but I'm wondering, you know, we're not experts, and we get a lot of questions on the Bears secondary and the Bears defense last week when they struggled for a little while through the second, almost to the end of the game when they gave that touchdown. But they almost get a touchdown. Swift dropped it. But what did you see from the coverage, from the defense, and especially from the young cornerback, Jalon Johnson, who looked like he used the peanut punch to punch it out for that interception for Fuller? I mean, I don't know, Peanut, man. I said this a couple years ago. I don't know if anybody's affected the game more than you have with causing turnovers and through the 2000s. And now everybody everywhere, when we coach Little League, it's what you teach. When you coach high school, it's what you teach. It's just unbelievable how much you affected the game and impacted the game of football.
Well, I was watching SportsCenter this morning, and they had a segment called Saturday's Best, and it was Marshall, and they were playing App State. And App State guy's running the ball, and a Marshall guy runs behind him, and at the last second punches out the ball. And he goes, and it was called Saturday's Best Peanut Punch. And I'm saying to myself, like,
should you get paid for that? Done.
I have my own segment on SportsCenter now, and it's called the Peanut Punch. And truly, man, like, that's an honor. Like, the term, oh, you just got mossed. Like, to me, if you've been able to change the game, and whether it be high school, little league, college, NFL, and everyone's doing this move because of you, and you've changed it, like, that's cool. I think it's cool. And to answer your first question, I think the Bears secondary, I think they'll be okay. I'm not happy with how they're tackling right now and how they overrun the ball. I think they need to – the fits need to be just a little bit better. And the last play, I think that was a blown coverage. But it was only week one. We didn't have any preseason games. I'll give everybody a week to 2 weeks to get out all the – you know, to work out all the kinks in the system. By week three, everybody should be full force, meaning full stride as the season continues.
Hey, Charles, I'm curious now, and I'm guessing I know the answer. I'm not sure it would be your style, but did you or your agent, anybody ever look into trying to trademark or copyright Peanut Punch?
You're about 5 years too late. I tried that. Man, I tried that. So, to answer your question, I tried to patent the mark, the name, the move, but I was unsuccessful. I feel like I should have did it. The first time, the first force fumble, Peanut, my nickname in the punch, let's just trademark it right now. But no, I tried it, was unsuccessful, unfortunately.
Does somebody else have it, or they wouldn't let you put a trademark on something like that?
No, I believe Hershey owns a trademark, believe it or not. They own that trademark. I tried, but yeah, unsuccessful. Damn Hershey.
Yeah, we got to start a movement here, guys. We got to see if we can get that back for Peanut. That's not right. Hershey's doesn't need it.
They don't need it. They could show me some love. Come on now, man. But yeah, it's good, man. Y'all like y'all little show. Y'all, you know, Pat, Ola, y'all got a little chemistry going on. You know, it's like Trey Aikman, Joe Buck over here.
But we got one fan. We got one fan.
Hey, man, y'all got more fans than that.
Hey, Peanut.
I like this.
Peanut, Hub's on the show too, you know. I mean, it's not just me and Pat's show.
I'm just a traffic cop.
Hub, I apologize. I'm just talking about former players. That's all I'm talking about.
Yeah, but is our show, do you like our show better than Lawrence's, or is it kind of the same?
You put me in a pickle on that one. I like Lawrence too, you know. But see, Lawrence does it solo. You guys got – it's a difference, you know what I'm saying? You got the Batman, the Robin. Well, how about who's Batman and who's Robin between the two of y'all?
I'm not wearing a Robin costume, Hope Peanut. I tell you that one. I ain't wearing it. Might have to go with two Batmans.
Oh, we got two Batmans. Okay. Well, I like it, man. I like the style. Hub, you good too.
Charles, I appreciate it, man. I am just here to keep everybody. You know, I'm the traffic light. That's all. It's green and red.
I'm just glad Pat let us back in the show. I didn't know what happened there for a little while.
So, well, yeah, Charles, my only critique is, Pat, you know, let Olin ask two more questions. Ask one less question.
I'm pointing Charles, out right now on Zoom.
We're going to have to let you roll in a couple minutes, but I got to ask you before we let you go, man. It's been a few years now. Do you miss it? I mean, on one hand, I've talked to a lot of guys about this, and you certainly feel better on Monday morning, I'm sure. But right. Other than that, having played it as long as you did and as well as you did, do you ever think, man, if I could get back out there one more time?
Oh, yeah, I do. I think for me, I only got 38 interceptions. And if I would have got to 40 interceptions, I would have been the only person to have 40 interceptions and 40 fumbles, the 40-40 club. So for me, that's my biggest regret, the two interceptions that I didn't get. And I always say, man, if I could just get two interceptions, if they would give me one phone call, I would go out there. I would jump every route. I might get burned every time. I'm going to get them two picks. I'm jumping everything.
Are
I look at Josh McCown. Josh McCown is 40-something. He's still going strong. Like, oh, my goodness. I want to be the next Josh McCown, but as a corner at 40.
So are there a couple specific plays where you pop up in bed at the middle of the night and you remember the one that got away?
No, I'm not having nightmares or anything like that. I just know when I watch the game, I'm like, here's the – oh, my – look, I'm reading. You know, Vance Barry used to say, the play is talking to you. You just got to see it. And you just got to listen. And I'm looking at plays and how they're developing. I'm like, oh, sink. He's going to run across the middle. Look at this. God dang it. I got that pink. Son of a So, yeah, that's kind of what I tell myself now. But, you know, as they say, as you get older, you get wiser. I wasn't that smart when I played. I probably would have had the picks.
Charles, we really appreciate the time this morning, man. It's great to hear that everything is going well with the family. And if you don't mind, we'll probably call you a few more times because we could visit forever. But right now, I know you've got your Sunday morning duties to take care of. We've got to go pay some bills. Thank you so much for joining us on Where Are They Now? And we hope everything continues to go great for you.
Hey, man, y'all stay healthy. I'll see y'all later. Thanks for letting me, have this conversation. Y'all be good, gentlemen.
That is Charles Peanut Tillman, one of the all-time great Chicago Bears, one of the all-time great Chicago people. We're going to take a very quick commercial break here. On the other side, I'm guessing Mark Grody is going to be checking in from Soldier Field. I'm actually not guessing. I know that for a fact. So stay tuned. More right here with the best Bears pregame in town on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station. We're back with Grody on the Field. Chicago Bears sideline reporter for WBBM News, Mark Grody. Getting the latest information and stories leading up to game time. Brought to you by Bet Rivers. Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We got Grody on the sideline now, and this segment is also being brought to you by Amazon. And Mark, I can you hear us over the crowd noise out there? Is it okay? Are you guys coming in okay?
I loved the opening, but you don't have Grody on the field. You actually have Grody in the front row, 50-yard line, right behind the Bears bench. That is the designated area that I have right now. You can't sit in the seats. You could kind of, about 20 rows of the seats, there are tarps all around the stadium with various advertisements and Bears insignia on it as well. And the rest of the stands are just totally and completely empty. So it's a little bit strange, but it's not so bad. My viewpoint is good, and I know that I'll get to hear a lot. There are some interesting inactives for the Bears. First, the ones that you would not be surprised by, like Trevis Gipson, Arlington Hambright, Josh Woods. You know, he was out for personal reasons. So Duke Shelley inactive. Riley Ridley for a second straight week, guys, is inactive. And then how about this one? Ted Ginn Jr., the Bears wide receiver, inactive today. He is a healthy scratch. He is a guy that was targeted one time last week, but he is not playing in this game. And that says to me, I don't know what you guys think, but they really like Darnell Mooney as their speed guy, their burner. They like what he did in week one last week, and obviously he is ahead of where they thought he would be last week. And at least for this week, Ted Ginn, guys, a healthy scratch.
Well, and as we extend that a minute, Mark, that means with both him and Ridley, only five wide receivers active. Trevis Gipson also was active last week, I believe. So that's one less pass rusher. Apparently the Bears are reacting to some of the things they saw on that tape against Detroit and deciding to shore up a few other areas. You've also, I guess it's Salbert, was Salbert active last week? He's not on the team anymore, I know. So can't remember if they had five tight ends or not. So they've obviously gone with a completely different numbers game, Mark, at various positions.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And this is just a matter of tightening up and Matt Nagy not messing around with who he wants out there. I mean, it also suggests, too, that, and we knew this from last week, and Javon Wims obviously caught a touchdown pass last week, but he really has taken a jump from last year to this year. I mean, each year he's gotten a little bit better, but I think that there was a considerable jump in what they saw in training camp out of Javon Wims and wanting him on the field. I think that he has, for now anyway, sort of deleted Riley Ridley from playing because they are similar types of players. And it just feels like Ridley has never caught up from the ankle injury that he had in Bourbonnais training camp 2019, where he fell behind. And then when he did get into games last year towards the end, it didn't look right. So I think Wims and Darnell Mooney are why you have seen some of the changes offensively for sure.
All right, Mark, Robert Quinn is active. What are we going to see out of him today? I know sometimes guys, when they're coming off injury, they're maybe put in just for situational plays, but is he kind of a full go now guy that has been out for a little while?
It looks like it. You know, in the individual drills that I've seen him working, he has been sprinting. He has looked fast. He has looked quick. I have not seen a man who is limited in any way, shape, or form. And I think at that position, if the Bears trainers, medical staff, and Matt Nagy for that matter, and Chuck Pagano, throw him in there, if they thought that he was going to be limited in any way, I don't think they'd be throwing him out here full throttle. I mean, just from talking to him, it was difficult to tell because he kind of was a say all the right things guy, that he's full go, doesn't feel any anxiety, he's ready to rock. It sucked sitting out last week, but I think it'll be interesting to see how, you know, finally see how two legitimate pass rushers play together on this Bears roster. You know, Leonard Floyd just was never that compliment to Khalil Mack, and we'll see if it makes a difference out here today. I'm really looking forward to see how those two work in tandem.
Hey, Mark, first of all, if you know, watching that game last week, I don't think anybody's shocked that Ted Ginn isn't suited up this week and Mooney has replaced him. I'm wondering around the team what they've talked about, how they're going to how to get the ball in the end zone and score points in the early part of this game. And then defensively, what were they talking about during the week on what went wrong against the run and what they have to shore up to stop the run?
Yeah, that's a huge thing, because we made so much about what happened in that game offensively and the dramatics that occurred. But this is a defense that allowed 4.8 yards per game. Danny Trevathan, for one, said he didn't play well enough, and he says he promises he's going to be better this week. We saw Akeem Hicks make a huge play at the end of the game last week, but his presence was not felt in a big way early in that game. And Hicks talking about, you know, wanting to make that huge splash play early in games to stuff the run and get everybody pumped up. I thought one guy that did have a pretty good game playing against multiple fronts and in multiple positions, Bilal Nichols was not, you know, at the traditional nose tackle spot for that entire game, but he certainly played pretty well. But you hope to get some big plays, more linebacker tackles, and the like. As far as the offense is concerned, I guess the word, it was hard to get real specifics out of Matt Nagy this week. He kept on leaning on the idea of consistency for four quarters and not using the fact that they won as an excuse not to figure out what went wrong for the first three quarters, because the first three quarters were pretty bad for the Bears offense. You know, the one thing, Olin, and I know you probably like seeing this, the running game was spot on when they executed it last week, or when they went to it last week. I think it'd be good to see them continue to establish that and actually get a first down on the first drive of the game. I think that's hugely important for them to really try to exploit the Giants' defense and get the running game rocking.
You know, normally we would be talking about weather, but Mark, it's just a glorious fall day for a home opener for the Chicago Bears. But wind always a factor. I got to believe the turf is in decent shape. They're not doing anything at Soldier Field besides the Bears playing. This is the first time. But any concerns about the wind? Cairo Santos was perfect last week, and so obviously a big impact on special teams potentially out there by the lake.
Yeah, field looks great, Hub, to answer the first part or comment on the first part. I am not allowed on the field, so I usually take a walk across the field just to kind of feel it out. But yeah, it looks great. It looks like it's been re-sodded. So, and this is the time of the year when the Soldier Field turf is typically in really good condition. As far as the wind, you could probably feel it rustling through the phone app here right now. Probably not as imposing as it sounds. A gentle breeze to the north side of the field right now. Now I'm standing up to see if the sun will have any effect. And right now it won't. won't, but that obviously will change as we get closer to noontime. Carol Santos is out there right now, as a matter of fact, just starting to get his warm-ups in. So I'll continue to monitor his long before this game starts. But right now, you're right, it is pristine out here. Perfect weather, about 70 degrees. I don't see any clouds in the sky, just bright sunshine, and the guys looking good out here on the field right now.
Mark, I'm curious. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You got it. No. I keep jumping on asking too many questions.
Say that again.
I worked on the question list this week, man. I got a lot.
I actually just wanted to ask Mark, being out there, this is normally a part of the game, maybe even, not now, but it's the last hour or so. Players from the two teams will sometimes stop and see an old friend, be talking. Have you noticed any of that, or are the teams staying completely separate and away from each other, in respect to all the special precautions they're taking?
That is a great question, Hub, and you are right. I hadn't thought about that, but there hasn't been a whole lot of intermingling between the two teams. Obviously, within the teams, it looks completely normal in their respective warm-ups, but I've been out here on the field since about 9 o'clock, and I haven't seen much. No, they are respecting the rules, and apparently part of that is stay on your own side of the field until we actually have to start hitting each other.
Go ahead, Patrick.
Okay, thank you. Mark, we talked earlier in the show about having no fans. And, last week it was out in Detroit with no fans. What did the guys say about not playing with any fans? Like, how did it affect them? Is it something they're going to get used to? Did they get used to it throughout the game last week?
Patrick, I think they hate it. Every single player has used a different word to describe it. Weird has been used, awkward, eerie. They don't like it. They even admitted last week, at least in Detroit, that that there maybe was a little bit of an effect that the ramp was difficult. Now, here is something about these games. Apparently, the coaches, the head coaches, have decision making in how loud they want the crowd noise to be on offense and defense. And we were told that Matt Patricia liked it low. He wanted it on, for whatever reason, he was good with sort of silence. So we'll see what it's going to be like at Soldier Field. I got a feeling, knowing Matt Nagy, that it's going to be a little bit more pumped up and there'll be a little bit more noise, especially since the reaction of every single Bears player that I spoke to was that they didn't like it, that it was not good without the crowd noise. So we'll see what the difference is this week here at Soldier Field as opposed to the quiet indoors of Detroit last week and the Matt Patricia way.
Yeah, man, you figure Matt Patricia out, let me know, Grody, because that guy. Grody, it's interesting that you said that Trevathan and Hicks talked about having to play better. And I came away from last week's game, especially after watching the film, worried about where those two guys are health-wise. Watching them on film, seeing braces on both their arms. Khalil Mack, that right leg seems to bother him a little bit more than he's letting on, just driving through tackles, sticking that foot in the ground. Any talk around the team that those guys are maybe struggling with a few little bumps and bruises?
Well, Hicks in particular, Olin, he did pop up on the injury report in the last week of camp with a quad injury, which kept him out of practice. And I do remember, he's been pretty quiet as far as joining the media this year. I mean, he really hasn't been on with us much, whereas normally he is one of the more available and affable guys. So there was the quad thing. And then something that I thought that he said that was really interesting, a really honest moment, when he was on Zoom with us and somebody asked him, hey, are you ready, man? And he kind of said, look, we're going to be as ready as we possibly can be with the time that we have during camp, but I'm not going to know until we actually get out there on the field and there's hitting going on and it's game speed and another team is genuinely, earnestly trying to beat us. He said, I don't know what to tell you at this point. And I think some of that had to do with maybe just the lingering effect, not necessarily the pain of it, but testing the injury that he suffered last week in week 5 in the game against the Raiders in London, and then the quad injury to boot. Now, we haven't talked to him since the game last week against Detroit, so we don't know if he's feeling any aches and pains, and we don't know what he felt like at game speed. But he did say that, and that I always found that very interesting. I read into that, and we'll see if Hicks comes out full force today.
Great stuff, as always. That is Grody on the Field. You can hear Mark Grody during the Chicago Bears game broadcast along with Jeff Joniak and Tom Thayer at our sister station, WBBM News Radio 780, 105.9 on your FM dial. Just remember, as soon as the game ends, get right back here as Patrick and I debut our Chicago Bears postgame show presented by PNC Bank, the official bank of the Chicago Bears, MailMedChicago.com, where a full head of hair is the winning play, and PropSwap, where you can get the best odds in the country on the games that you'd like to play by trading with other fans. We'll have that immediately following the final gun. Right now, we're going to take a quick commercial break, but when we get back, it's our Bets of the Day by BetRiversportsbook.com. Olin was good last week. I was undefeated. Patrick gave you a winner. He went with that Philly game, Pat. I never saw that one coming. I would have taken that one too. So no one's gonna discount that one. We're gonna have our picks for this week in just a moment, right here at 670 The Score.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.